And that's something that has supplied right through your career, really, that everything you've released has been such high quality, whether it's been hits or not. I mean, a case in point being the Sire Sessions in late 1979-80. Great reviews, but didn't grab the attention of the record-buying public.
No. No, you could say that again. I mean, unlike the Solitaire, didn't get the place. There was one track called Heart in Her Eyes.
Yeah.
That should have been a big hit.
Yeah.
A lot of people liked it. It was a great track, good song, good for the time. It was what was happening at the time. It was the sounds that they were playing on the radio. But, you know, like you just said, you know, people didn't go and buy it. But I suppose you could put that down to a lot of things.
Mm.
You could put it down to management, promotion. Because don't forget, when we had those big hits in the 60s, the management or the powers that be at the time, they almost made sure that we were going to be big.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, yeah.
Whereas once we've been in the business for like 20 years and then somebody tries to bring you back again, it's difficult.
Yeah, I mean, I remember listening to those albums when they came out and thinking, how can a band from the Merseybeat era sound so fresh?
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to happen again. A lot of people in the business did. I don't know if you remember or if you've heard, when Sire tried to break us again, they had another band that they were trying to break at the time. They were the Pretenders.
Right.
And, of course, they went with the Pretenders and they did break them, and they were a big band.
Yeah.
So they had a choice, and they went with them, simple as that, really.
And then after the Sire period, you briefly went back with PRT, which was Pie again, wasn't it, under a different name?
Yes. We had a song, I Don't Want to Be the One, I think it was called.
Yeah, yeah.
Dunk.
Another good single.
Another good single. Yeah. You know, amazing how many good singles we've made in that period.
Yeah.
From the 80s onwards.
Yeah.
And, you know, great recognition, you know, people throwing sort of bouquets at us and say, wow, great single. But again, and we even got television and things like that on that single.
Really? Yeah.
And just, again, same thing. Because the powers that be weren't there to say, right, we're going to make sure this is going to be big, it didn't happen.
And didn't the label go bust in the end?
Well, I mean, you hear these stories, but what happens? In the early days, Pye obviously were taken over by Castle Communications.
Yeah.
Castle Communications were eventually taken over by somebody else. And then, obviously, our compilations now come out on Universal now.
Yes, yeah.
They all amalgamate into each other, all these record companies.
Yeah.
They come in hard times and somebody says, okay, you know, we'll pick the tab up and you're now on Universal.
Yeah.
And that's what happens.
Yeah. And I Don't Want to Be the One not making the charts. How frustrating was that for you? Did that have anything to do with you going solo?
No, because when that time came around, we had nothing.
Yeah.
You know, 1985 you're talking about.
Yeah.
And, you know, we tried so many times, and I'd become really frustrated.
Yeah.
Because people promise you the earth, promise you this and that and the other, and yeah, you're going to be big again, you're going to do this, you actually believe them.
Yeah, yeah.
And when it doesn't happen after so many tries, you then turn around and you think, well, what is going to happen? Where am I going to be in 5 years? Where is the band going to be in 5 to 10 years?
Yeah.
Is it going to be still nostalgia, still the cabaret clubs around the UK, still the odd gig in Germany, still the odd tour of America, the odd nostalgic tour of Australia? Is it going to be that? I can do that on my own.
Yeah.
You know, is it time to think about my future and just do my own thing, think of my family more, think of home life, think of, you know, these things were crossing my mind.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, what we're doing now in the band, just rolling along with all the other groups who are still going, maybe at the time, don't forget, at that time, there was no such thing as Solid Silver 60s.
No.
They hadn't arrived.
Yeah.
And all those things, you know, maybe if that would have been there, that would have sort of made me think, well, okay, there is still a future for the band.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to be doing that near once every 2 years or something like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, something may pick up from there when we get another recording contract or whatever. But because that had not arrived at that moment in time, I couldn't see anything else for me but to do what I did.
Yeah.
And that's why I sort of said, you know, right, guys. Well, actually, there was only John from the original still there. Tony and Chris had gone, of course.
Yes, yeah.
And obviously, you know, today, Tony and Chris are not with us anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
But at that time, I thought that was the best thing, and that was what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
You know, people, in show business, you'll find that it happens all the time. People leave a band, you know, they want to do their own thing, they want to do this, do that. And I felt that was the best thing for me, and I went ahead and did it.
Yeah, yeah, excellent. And, of course, post-searches...
Happy!
you've still been very active, and there was talk, wasn't there, back in the 80s of an album? Was it called Back on My Feet Again, or it was going to be?
Yes, lots of ideas come to you, and you get... And, you know, people come sending me songs and say, Mike, you know, what do you think of this, what do you think of that? And I settled on a song, It's Over.
Yeah.
I thought it was a good song, and the production, the guys who were producing, they said, yeah, we're going to do it. And a guy called Matt Hayward, who had gone back to PRT Records.
Yes.
He was involved in it, and he said, Mike, you know, we think we can break you as a solo artist. Again, you put your faith in someone.
Yeah.
But it was not to be.
Yeah. Yeah. And tracks like Red Ferrari and Two Hearts and stuff like that, was that written for that prospective album, or were they just tracks that came along as the years went by?
No, it wasn't, actually. That was when I left the Searchers as the band then and started Mike Pender's Searchers.
Yeah.
It was mainly getting the sort of foothold in the actual gig scene again.
Right.
And... Tony Sherwood, who manages me today, my agent, he was sort of pulling the strings then. And we did very well. We got the band right off the ground. We got all kinds of TVs on the continent and got to America, Australian tour. Quite a lot was happening. So the record thing, no, it had been sort of shelved because I didn't have any faith anymore in that.
Mm.
That was gone.
Yeah.
I realised I had to sort of make my mark again. In the entertaining side, performance side on stage, and that's what we did. But then we got the idea of going into the studio and re-recording all the old hits that we had in the 60s.
Yeah.
And that's what we did. And while we were there, I thought, you know, why not try and inject a couple of new songs in? So Barry Cowell and myself got together, because obviously Barry lives at this end with me, and we were sort of... We could get in touch with each other easily.
Yes, yeah.
Sit down easily and get together. And that's what we did, and we wrote a couple of songs, those songs you mentioned.
Yeah.
And we thought we'd give Needles and Pins a new approach.
Yeah.
And we give that sort of... we put a backing track down, a pretty modern backing track, when you listen to it.
Yeah.
But for that time, sort of, you know, about 1986, I think it was, yeah. And I just sort of went in and just did a vocal on it, just a quick one vocal. I did, which you can hear on the song. It's not a fantastic vocal, but it's something different.
Yeah.
And we just did things like that, and that's how that came about, really.
Yeah. And you're about to go out on tour again, a big one this time, with the Solid Silver 60s.
Right.
Who's going to be in your band this time? Oh, it's Vanity Fair, isn't it?
Well, that's right. I mean, I'm there as a solo singer.
Yeah.
But what we've done is, Flying Music have done, who are the people who put the Solid Silver 60s tour on, they've put it as the original voice of the Searchers.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
You know, and people are going to be able to go along to that tour and listen to that, you know, the voice that they hear on the radio singing all those hits.
Yeah.
The voice they're going to hear. So that, in one way, that they know they're going to get that voice.
Yes.
As opposed to a lot of groups are advertised for tours. And obviously people go along, you know, thinking, well, you know, we're going to... And so a lot of the time, the lead vocalist is gone.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's like a sort of... It's going to be a tribute-type sort of sound.
Certainly the voice is the biggest miss, isn't it, of all the band members?
Well, I think if you take a lot of lead singers out of groups, they haven't got that sound.
No.
They haven't.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people would say, well, you know... It doesn't work with a lot of modern bands. I mean, for instance, if you take a band like Marillion, who I say modern, they've been going for a long time now, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
But they've had a couple of lead vocalists.
Yeah.
They've changed. But they're still... But the fans there.
Yeah.
It works for some bands, but for a 60s band, I think you do have to have that original vocal.
Yeah, yeah. And talking of that, I suppose if I could finish with the normal question that I'm sure you're sick of being asked, but if you don't mind answering it one more time, I know a lot of people ask me this. What are the chances, in your eyes, of a reunion with the other setters such as? Is it likely to happen before you retire?
Well, I never say no.
Right.
I never say never. But I would say very unlikely.
Yeah.
Had the original members still been around?
Yeah.
Could see why somebody would go to the trouble of putting the original band together.
Oh, God, that would be Albert Hall time, that would, wouldn't it? All four originals.
And for me, that would have been great. That would have been something I would have said, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Whether it would be... I don't know whether it would mean anything to come together with the band now.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, there's only John there, and Frankie's there. He's been there a long time.
Yeah.
Well, I know John and Frankie quite well.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it would work. I wouldn't sit here and say no.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's in the balance. I don't know.